Father, I praise you and worship you. I thank you once again that if you could hold all of the church in your hands, then you can hold my life.
Yes, my Lord.
I praise you and I worship you. I glorify you. I thank you, worship you for God who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I love you, Jesus. I've got everlasting life. Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory. You guys are a real easy bunch to get along with. You don't have to say too much about the born-again nature, and you just get you guys all riled up. You must understand who you are. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Glory
thank
be to God.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
See, this has nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing, nothing to do with how your day or week has gone.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
This is reality.
Hallelujah.
The other is a mirage.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Those things are temporary and they are going to pass.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah.
This will never thank pass you, away. Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh,
glory, hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you,
why don't
Lord.
You go around and give somebody a great big hug and say, all that other junk's going to pass away, but this will never pass. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Did you imagine why we're not upset about change of government and how all that's going to pan out? They think we're headed towards socialism, which is the kissing cousin towards communism. That's not good. No, I know. There's a few places on planet Earth that are true, still communist countries, and they seem to be wanting to be more democratic. They run their gamut. And there's this and that, all kinds of parliamentary rule. There's socialism, communism. We're a republic that's ruled by a democratic kind of government. But does it really matter? Because not too far from now, a monarch... it don't matter what your government is. It's going to be changed to a monarch government. There's going to be one king, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he's going to rule out of Jerusalem. And we're going to rule and reign with him. And there's going to be a vast difference. We're going to have our glorified bodies. And we're going to look like the rest of them. We're going to look like the rest of them. The only thing is our bodies are not going to be functioning like their bodies. Our bodies will be able to do things. The greatest thing about our new body is it won't have any inclination of sin to it. It can't get offended. It can't sin. You couldn't make that new body sin. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm excited. We're ruling. We're going to rule and reign with him. 1,000 years. There'll be billions and billions of those that don't have the same body that we've got. But guess what? Whether they enjoy it, like it, or don't like it, there is a monarch that is coming. There is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I want to side with him now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Father. We glorify you. I thank you that you're soon to change this whole government. Everything's coming down. And everything is going to change. You're going to rule and reign. We're going to reign with you. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory! Woo! I just can't hardly wait till all gets wrapped up. Knowing where we're headed. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We glorify you. Come on and help me for just a moment. Give him all the praise. I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I glorify you. I exalt you. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Dave wanted me to tell everybody hello. So hello, everybody. Hallelujah. I got a chance to really enjoy some good time with him today. You know, we talked about all the miracles. And a lot of it was all the miracles that took place in times when we had conferences here. We had some good miracles. We're still having miracles. We talked about the man's eye that was lasered out. He was blind. He was back there somewhere. That eye opened up. He saw. And he was really excited. And he was reacting kind of like you would. Like, oh my God, oh my God. My eye. It just opened up. It had been lasered out. They tried to do something with it and it got worse. And he went blind. His eye opened up in that service. How many of you were here? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Besides for the miracles that took place, like the prophetic ones and the words of knowledge, I reminded him of the one. He was trying to remember it. And I said, yeah, okay, I got it. It was just fun remembering. There was a word of knowledge on one night. I had met the guy and had seen the girl, the lady, at the gym before, and I don't know them, and they never came to church here. But Dave was in town, and we were having those. That's when the house was packed, you know, it was packed. And he or she lived, they were married and then divorced, and then one moved to LaBelle, and he stayed here or she stayed here. Well, it got to that place where it was prophetic, you know. And you know what prophetic is. Not stand somebody up and prophesy over them, although that is prophetic. But it was like Paul talks about where you prophesy the mind of Christ so that the hearts are manifest. The mind of Christ manifests the heart of the person sitting in the pew. And then they know for sure, they say within themselves, of surety, God is in this place. And so Dave stood up, and this won't be verbatim, but the essence of it was, he said, there's some people here that you're separated. You were together, and you separated, and it was over a loss. And I think he went on to say a loss of a child, and it destroyed your home, it destroyed your marriage, and on and on and on. Well, that couple, I knew. But I didn't know who really invited them. And they were divorced. And they had divorced because they had a small child that had drowned in a swimming pool and never could reconcile with each other or self. And they were divorced and they went their separate ways. And both of them were here that night and heard that word. And neither one of them knew that the other one was coming to that service, but just was invited by different people and were in that service that night. Now tell me, what are the chances of that? And I remember them both come running down here, and he was standing on one side and she was standing on the other, and they didn't know the other one was even in the service, as far as I know, living separate. And God said, I've got a healing for you. If you come, I can heal you. Does God know all things or what? Hallelujah. It was so neat. Dave was about 2 or 3 weeks or a month. I can't remember how long it was over in LaRue's after he was here. That was when he was traveling. And he was telling about the miracle of the blind eye. And a woman way back, I don't even know who she was. I can't even remember. I don't even know who this guy was. But I know he was really excited about his eye opening up that night. And she was in LaRue's service, and she said, "I can tell you a fact, that is true. That was my son that was in Immokalee." And as far as I know, she lived in Texas, but her son was here. Isn't that amazing? Now that's a sign and a wonder. Hallelujah. Deanne will always tell you about the one. And it never has changed. I like miracles that never change. You get them and they stick. You know they're miracles. Hallelujah. She was about where Gay was at or someplace in there. And that was the night he came down through there. And see, Deanne's my sister, 4.5 years younger. And ever since she was a little thing, probably 8 or 9. Well, the story is, real quick, my dad, you know, I grew up in the woods, out in the country. And by the time I was 10 or 12, I was driving a Jeep all through the back, you know. That's how country boys are. Well, Daddy had this Jeep, and it was had big old military, like 916 tires on it. And he gave it to me, and I'm like, you know, I'm driving this thing all over the place. Well, we had a big church thing, and all the people come, and the women were out. They had my Jeep, you know. I probably was miffed, but they had my Jeep riding it out in the field, and the kids were on that thing like monkeys. And my sister was on the front, fell off, and got run over by those 916 tires right across her knees. Well, broke her collarbone. The party was over. Thank God I wasn't driving. My mama would have killed me. But it impaired her the rest of her life. She'd be walking, mall, church, any place, and those knees would go out. They'd just pop right out. And when they would pop out, she'd fall wherever she was at in excruciating pain. It would take 20, 30 minutes or a good long time for them to ease back in. Well, that night, he got about right here where she is at, and he said, "My knees, this is the funniest sensation. They feel like they want to go out on me." Well, she stepped up, stepped out, went out, got healed, and that's about 10 or 12 years ago, and they never have popped out since. And they were popping out on a regular basis. Glory to God. They haven't stopped because Dave's gone. We've been seeing a lot of them, haven't we? And we're going to see a lot more. Glory be to God. But he says hi. Glory. I don't know when he'll be coming. You know, things changed when his middle son passed away. And so he's really going in. And so he wants to be here. He said that. And I said, I know. But he's catching up some lost time in the spirit, and boy, he's stronger than ever. Hallelujah. But got a good chance to talk to him, and glory, had a chance to talk to LaRue today. Had a good time with him. He's doing good. In fact, anytime you want LaRue's attention, you can't dictate these things, but I had this dream last night about him, and it was so real. The first thing I did when I got coffee this morning, that's one of the first things, went into prayer. But when I called and left a message, I had a dream about you. Guess what? He'll call you back. So I had this, and it was very specific, and it was very real, and I was where this, blah, 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 blah. So he heard it. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3. 4, 5, hallelujah. We've been having a good time in the Word, haven't we? Thank you, Jesus. So we'll go over some stuff that we have gone over, but we're really headed to someplace new. Thank you for your giving, Sunday. And every time you get the opportunity, we appreciate it. Would you stretch your faith this way and help me? Father, I love you. We're so excited about you coming back, because we know what's coming. There's a tremendous harvest that's coming between that time and now. You're getting us ready. Time has to be so short, and the harvest must be so soon. Help us, Jesus. Help me tonight. Lord, I receive your grace. I receive your grace. I receive your grace. Hallelujah. Thank you for the prayers of your people, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'll just tell you some of the ending of chapter 3, and nevertheless, you know most of it or have heard it before if you've been attending here a long time. Just to bring you up to speed and then head in the right direction here, Paul is making he's talking about a comparison of the ministration of condemnation, which was the law, versus the administration of righteousness, which is our born-again, spirit-filled nature. And he goes into this whole argument and talks about what Moses was and the law was to the people of Israel. And then he compares it to what that was compared to our new nature. And then he talks about the bondage at the end of chapter 3 that the Jewish, actual physical Jewish people are in, but that they have a way of escape. The moment that their hearts just turn any bit directive towards Christ and begin to entertain, then the veil that has been cast on them by their own choosing gets broken, light comes in, and of course you know the rest. They're able to be born again. Now, at the end of that, he says this, verse 16 of 3, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, and he's talking about their heart, the Jewish nation, the veil shall be taken away. And he says this, now the Lord is that Spirit. And we've taught this before, so it's not our obligation right now to teach this again. I'll just say this, we know that Spirit is the one that he has just went into great lengths to identify what that Spirit is. It's the new nature. It's what set us free. A lot of people will preach this as the Holy Ghost. This is not the Holy Ghost. He's talking about that Spirit is the Spirit that delivered you from the bondage of sin. And it's a better covenant. It's an inheritance that the Jews couldn't receive. But it's by that Spirit. He says the Lord is that Spirit, or it proceeds from Him. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We understand this. That's to us. It's not like what I grew up under when they'd say, oh my God, I feel God in this house. Yes. And God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we would say yes. And that is true, because when the Holy Spirit comes and that anointing comes, He breaks the yoke. And there is liberty. But that's not Paul's context here. He's talking about when you receive that new nature, you're set free from the bondage of sin. Hallelujah. And there's liberty. And where that Spirit is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, and you'd have to understand exactly what he was talking about in chapter 3, when Moses put a veil over his face, he's saying, in contrast to that, there's no veil over our face. We get the opportunity to look straight in to the glory of God, because we've been born again. The veil has been rent. The flesh has no longer the bondage that it had over us, because sin ruled in the flesh, because the flesh didn't have anything to combat it with. But now it does. It has a new nature. And he says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror or in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed. That's the word. It says are changed, but it's one word. It's metamuphe, which is metamorphosis. It's a changing process. We're changed into the same image. Whose image? The one that we're looking at. His name is Jesus. We're changed into His same image from glory to glory. And how does this change take place? Even by the Spirit of the Lord. Even by this new nature. It's the catalyst. It's the dynamo that cranks out righteousness. It changes us. Now the change takes place by this Spirit, by the new nature. But it's not changing the new nature. It's changing another part of us. It is the part of us, the Spirit is the part that does the changing. But it's actually, according to context here, of course your spirit can go higher and higher. It can grow. It can be filled with more and more love. But it is, in context with what Paul is talking about here, it's the catalyst. It's the mechanism by which God uses to change the part of you that needs to be changed. Hallelujah. So it makes all the sense in the world to work on that part of us. If you go to work on the flesh part of you and you get your eyes on your flesh and the part that needs to be changed, all you'll be doing is looking at a bad pattern. You'll be looking at a defective pattern. Your flesh is a defective pattern. But the new nature, once it gets filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with the Word of God, it has the capacity to teach you and to guide you through the Holy Spirit into all truth and change you from one step of glory to the next step of glory to the next step of glory. Thank you, Jesus. And he says, therefore, verse 1 of 4, chapter 4, seeing we have this under our belt, this ministration or this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Well, why would you faint, Paul? And he's not talking about, oh, it's warm in here. He's talking about quitting in life, falling out of rank. Hey, where's so-and-so? Weren't they marching with us? That was last month, Pastor. They fainted along the wayside. My God. Well, did they faint? Yes. Said, you just been preaching too hard on all that stuff. They need a relaxation. They need some modification and relaxation and a place that they can rest their weary bones. Hallelujah. But he says, therefore we have this, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. He's speaking now concerning his apostleship and all of us for that matter. But by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, well, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We've got a mandate, don't we? And we've got to pray that the eyes of their understanding get enlightened, that they can see. Because the reason why your unsaved loved one doesn't want to come along is not necessarily that they're so mean or they just don't want to do right. They think they're all right where they're at and their eyes are blinded. But we can pray and our prayers will avail much and the blinders can come off and they can see and they can enter in. For he says this, for we preach not ourselves but Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the one that we're being changed into his image, glory to glory. And this is a scripture that we've used consecutively now for a little while, and even did a paper on it. But we have this treasure. Now, what treasure is he about to talk about? He's talking about the new nature. Where's this new nature concealed? It's concealed in the problem, or in the part that gives us a problem at time to time. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He describes the new nature as a treasure. But as we've broke this down before in the past, it is concealed in a clay pot. that it is a physical body that he's talking about here. And he said the contrast is this. You got a treasure on the inside of you. Well, let's look at the capacity of this treasure. Let's look at the capacity of it just for a second, as we have before recently. He says this. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I like to think about those old westerns that I've seen a million times before. You know, they put those wagons in a circle, and they are surrounded by Comanches, Apaches, or some kind of savage that is moving in on them. And there's no place to go. And this is the picture, whether you're a Western buff or not, it doesn't matter. This is the picture that Paul is saying. In the natural, it looks like at times that you're going to have to reconcile, like David did in Psalms 3, is, you know what? I'm going to lay me down and I'm going to go to sleep. Because the fact of the matter is, I'm surrounded, but it doesn't matter if there are 10,000 devils. And if that interprets out to situations and circumstances in life that surround me, I'm going to lay me down and sleep and rest, and you're going to raise me up and you're going to sustain me in the middle of this. I don't know how. The next one, this gives way to the next one when he says perplexed. The word perplexed means you're looking at a situation and there seems to be no way of, you know, what's your choice going to be in this? While I'm in the trial, it's all right for me to say to you, I don't know. I really don't know how he's going to bring me out. All I know is I'm going to get through it. He will. Hallelujah. I'm perplexed. I mean, I can't tell you exactly how this is all going to work out, but I've seen him do it before. I'll bet you he does it again. Hallelujah. This treasure has the power to cause us to be able to be surrounded and not in despair. Perplexed, but or surrounded, but not in distress. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down. I mean, it looks like, by all apparent purposes or intent, you're cast down. It looks like done, kaput. You're done. I don't know if that's a word, but whatever. Stick a fork in you. You are. When you realize this, you're still his worst nightmare because you never die. You never die. You never die. You never rot on the vine. You're always there when you realize that you're indestructible in him. Now watch this. This is very important. Always. And everybody say always. Paul knew this and he practiced it. Always bearing about in the what? Everybody say body. See, this is the earthen vessel. And this is the part that you got to work on, I got to work on. You say, Pastor, we've heard this before. Yes, we have, but we're going to get to something in just a moment we haven't said before. But we got to keep this in our thinking to understand that this is the place where he takes our spirit and works on us from glory to glory. He's changing us from that spirit, but he's working on something else. And even though you can't take your flesh from glory to glory, you can take the inhibitor and cause it to come to a place where it does not restrict your changing from glory to glory. Because if we're all made in the image of Christ, then we ought to be supermen and superwomen in Christ. We ought to all be raising the dead and healing the sick. So that glory to glory changes in our spirit, but the inhibitor, what causes a stifling of that changing process, is the part that Paul says here. Always keep this in mind, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we said this in by way of example in the paper that we sent you. Jesus is not dying again. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But the same life that he lived out his life in and died under the penalty and was baptized into death, you and I were baptized with him. And if sin did not rule over him, it cannot rule over us. And the more that I spend time with him and his word, there's an execution of a principle, or it is a law of the Spirit, that the more time I spend with him and the more I give myself over to the Holy Spirit, he's working on this already set in motion law of the Spirit, that I can continually execute the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ in my mortal body, so that my mortal body has no restraints over me. It doesn't stop me from going on into God. It doesn't stop me from working a huge reward and getting people born again and casting out devils, hallelujah, and raising the dead. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. For we which live, that's us, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life, why do we preach? Why do we desire a mortification of our senses? So that something else emanates from us. So that life emanates from us. I don't know, little one, why I can't get you changed yet. But I do know this. Jesus wants you changed in your body. And let's see. Let's go through deductive reasoning. The devil has already been defeated. So we can throw him, kick him to the curb. If Jesus was to walk in, he would change you. So, where do you want to be changed? Yes, I do. I know what it is. It's a sin in your life.
I'm just 4 years old.
I don't care. It's a sin in your life. Come back when you get it out and you'll be healed. Because otherwise, if he's to the curb and he's righteous, there's only one left that needs to get you changed. And I can't deal with that. Can't be me. No, he's telling us how to work a great reward here. And he's not condemning us with it. He's just telling us how it happens. So then death works in us, but life in you, meaning he as an apostle said, I'm giving myself over to this continual dying process. But if I do, the ministry that you're going to receive and anybody else that you give your life for in a dying process, they're going to be the recipients of life. Little one, guess what? I got something to offer you. I got something to offer you. He says this, we having the same spirit of faith according to as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. What are you speaking, Paul? Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Hallelujah. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redounding unto the glory of God. For which cause, here we go again, because I know all this, we faint not. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God that we don't have all this fainting. Hallelujah. But though our outward man perish, means getting older, yet the inward man is renewed by day by day. Pablo, he says we get older. He doesn't say that we lose anything. Hallelujah. He says your outward man is perishing, but the inward man gets an opportunity to do what? Be renewed in his spirit day by day. For our light affliction. Note this, that he says all these things that he lists here is a light affliction, which is but for a moment. This earth time that we're spending, it's a vapor. It's a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. It doesn't say that God is sending it, but it says that if you work it, you know what teenagers say? Work it, work it, work it. You got to work this thing. Don't let it work you. You got to work it. And if you work it, work it, work it, whatever's coming is working for you when you stand up against it and buck it when it's looking at you and saying, I'm going to get you in submission. You say, no, no, no. I am going to stick to the course.
And I'm going to call myself dead even when I feel like I'm very alive. And I'm going to follow not my physical senses that wants to hate, that wants this, that wants that, that wants anything it wants. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And that in itself is working for you an exceeding and glorious reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While all this is going on, you better do this. Look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Hallelujah. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Now, Candy and I have made it through, and I'm not speaking for ourselves. We're no just champions in and of ourselves. There's a lot of champions here. And there are several of you that have been with us for a long, long time. You've put up with me for a long time. But you making it and us making it through whatever winds of adversity have come to this church, and it will always come. It will always come because it will try to destroy the foundation. You know what has always, 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 and I didn't even try to do it. It was just there prepared like your strength is. When one of those big ones fail, when one of those big trials fail to our lot, it was always what kept me going was, don't look at the present circumstances. Look at why it's come. It has to become to stop me in revival. And if I looked on the temporal and tried to solve the temporal, and I'm talking about all of your lives, if you stop there and get involved in that and don't keep the bigger picture, like Paul was saying, in mind, if you say, okay, I got to figure this all out, and it becomes your... Now, Paul said, look, all this is working for you, and the reason why it's working for you is you're giving yourself over to this administration of the Spirit that's changing your flesh or changing you in the Spirit and is causing your flesh to come under a place where it is working for you an exceeding great and glorious reward. Hallelujah. But you better keep your eyes on the spiritual, and you better keep your eyes on that which is to come, and know this. This is just a bump in the road, and it's meant to stop us from going forward. And I will not be stopped. And you will not be stopped. For we know. Do you know? He says we know. He's going to tell us something. The body that you live in, that's just it. You live in a body. That's your house. That's not really... that. When God stepped out in the universe at such and such a time with however many other creations He may have had spinning in the universe and decided to create our world, He created it and He boiled it all down and made all these creatures running all over the place. There were no thorns and no thistles. Roses didn't even have thorns. Isn't that something? Because after the fall, the thorns and the thistles came. There was no meat eaters. The animals didn't eat each other. They were just, you know, lions ate straw or fruit or whatever. There's no meat eaters. And then He reaches down and picks up just sand, just clay, just dirt. And He says, I'm going to create a home for you to live in. And He breathed you, Adam, into a home. It's pretty neat. And then even after the fall, He reconstructed this whole thing to redeem us back and put us back in our home as new creatures. How many of you think that He doesn't have a problem, if He loved you that much, doing all that, that He doesn't have a problem from hearing when you talk to Him? He listens. He loves us. He loves us. For we know this. What do we know, Paul? If our earthly house, this is what He called our body. This is not me. I'm living in this. But this is just a like a turtle going into a shell.
I just needed this while I was here. But it's doing something. For we know that this earthly house of this tabernacle, if it were dissolved, meaning if it ceased to exist, we have a building. He's talking about this glorified body. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands. Its origin is from the eternal heaven. Hallelujah. For in this we groan. There's something inside of us. It's talking about a desire. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what we were talking about before. The monarch is coming back, and I get a glorified body. Otherwise, I'd be naked. The spirit wouldn't have a shell to go into, but it gets a glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15, we broke that down before. It's so wonderful. He said, just like you've borne the image of the natural, you'll bear the image of the spiritual. And he broke that down so that we know it's so easy to see now that the DNA of the glorified body is in the new nature. And just like they had, well, it didn't really come to pass, but just like they had the computer scare in 2000, like there's a virus and everything's going to shut down because it's already imputed in your computers and there's not much you can do about it unless you're a genius and pull it all out. But guess what? There is a, it's not a virus. This is another sermon in and of itself, but there is imputed in the DNA of your new nature that at the trumpet, it will transform your natural body into a glorious, glorified body. Hallelujah. Can you prove that? Oh, line on line on line on line, we can prove that. We have. It's about an hour and a half sermon. It just, if you can't get convinced on it, you just can't be convinced. Your convincer is way past help. Hallelujah. But we get a new body. But we've got to be working with this body right now. Why? We've got to be working with it. He says, for we groan, again, for we have in this body do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Hallelujah. Woo! You're not looking at the real me. The real me's in here. I'm just looking out of these eyeballs at you. And whether I die or go up in the resurrection and changed and start this whole thing over with Him here, I'm going to be changed. Hallelujah. Now, verse 5, now He that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident. Everybody say always. What? By what? The knowing this, knowing that while we're at home, again, this is a home He created for you, this body. Like a turtle going to a shell. This is all it is. It's a home right here. But guess what? It's going to be dissolved. Because we have a joy. What is your joy? Knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from Him. We're absent, even though, yes, He's with us and in us. But that physical location of our Lord and Savior, we're absent from Him. For we walk by faith and not by sight. But we're confident, and I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Isn't that the way you're supposed to live? Yes. Hallelujah. Wherefore we labor. Well, what do we labor? Or why do we labor? That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now watch this. For we must, that's all of us, we must all, and He puts all, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, watch this very closely. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. My goodness. Isn't that amazing? I'm saved by the blood. But Paul goes into this whole chapter and tells us, but you've got to understand this. The eternal weight of glory and the reward that you're going to get is by what you do
on this earth life, walking in the flesh, how much you'll take the glory that has been given to you and dominate the flesh and say to it at times when it wants to look at 18, verse 18 of the previous chapter, when it wants to look at the things, if it want, the flesh wants to do this, it wants to reverse 18. It wants to look at the things which are seen, the present things. The flesh wants us not to look on eternal things, but it wants to make a home with the temporal and get involved with the temporal. It wants to have what it wants, and Paul leads into this and spends this whole preceding chapter and say, but the weight of glory is this, that we're always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus so life can come out of it. And he gets to the part where we go into the next age and he says, and by the way, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that the deeds done in your body while you were on this planet, that you will receive a judgment concerning those deeds. In other words, folks, you've been given enough to rule over that body. And this is what amazes me. When he gets to this scripture in 10, and he says, where we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Did you know at this point in time, listen, this is what is amazing to me. When we stand there, this judgment is not based on the blood of Jesus. It's not. Per se it is. Yes, everything is on His blood that we got there. But this judgment is not you standing there saying, Lord, I want to say I plead the blood of Jesus on that. He'll say, son, this is not about my blood. Oh yeah, you're here because of my blood. But this judgment seat of Christ is what deeds you did in your body and how you ruled over your body while you lived on planet Earth. Ooh, isn't that something? Hallelujah. But the good thing about it is this. Here's the good part. Here's the good part. Let's see, how can I put this? If you're in elementary school and your grade school teacher says, hey, everybody that passed the test gets to go on a field trip today, and we're going to the park, and we're just going to have a great time. Sunshine and ice cream for everybody. Everybody that passed the test gets to go. And I got good news and bad news for all you kids. The good news is this. You all passed the test. Oh my God. We're all going to the park. Ice cream and sunshine for everybody. Now, when you're standing here at the judgment seat of Christ, the good news is you've either died and receive a resurrected body, or you're caught up in the resurrection, that final resurrection. So you get to go on the field trip. You're there. The only thing is that she doesn't stop there. She says, but what we're going to do is, before we leave, I'm going to call you all up here, one by one, and I'm going to tell you what your grade was. And I'm also going to tell you what you put down for the answers. Well, now you're talking between an A plus and a D minus. You know, when I was in school, when I went into college, I made pretty good grades because I was paying for most of that. But when I was in high school, 70s were great things, you know. Sorry, Miss Barbara, she's a teacher. You know, I was like, golly, I got an 80. Oh, my God. I was, okay, I'll hold that, Lord. Let me read the next verse. Let me read 10 and then 11 again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done,
whether it be good or bad. And he says, knowing this, knowing therefore the terror, that is the word fear, and it's a righteous kind of fear. It's the one David would talk about when he would worship God. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. I hope I'm persuading you. I'm persuading myself. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and trust also are made manifest in your, and our trust also are made manifest in your conscience. When he, backing up the early part of 11, he said, because we know this, we persuade men. Now listen, here's the beautiful part about this judgment seat of Christ. We're there, you're there. But the preceding chapter tells us this. It's all what is going on against your flesh to get you to enter into the temporal and get your whole life involved in the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the temporary trial that has come to try you. All these things. When it says we need to persuade men because we know what that day is like, Paul must have had some kind of opportunity in the Spirit to look at it. Once upon a time, I'll say it like this, or some time ago, I had the opportunity to go to a traffic court with a member of the family. And that's not Candy, or I'm not saying who, but I attended as moral support. And I went in there, and you know what I was amazed? The awesome reverence and the fear, the reverential fear that was in that place. And it came on me. The first thing that these cops with 9mm are all standing around, pistols, and they're telling you that before it ever starts, I mean, just you're sitting there and something's like, I mean, not a ungodly kind of satanic fear, but they tell you, hey, they look back, one guy had his shades like this. They said, no shades on your head, take them off now. And no chewing gum in here. I'm thinking, man, I need this guy in my church. And then they tell us, look, and then he says, look, if your cell phone goes off, you know, shut them down now. I'd already done it. We went in the next court, and this guy, and then there's some more guys in there, you know, some more cops in there, and they tell us, look, because we already got the, you know, the shades and the gum and all that stuff, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, this is, my heart's beating fast, and I'm not even here, and the person I'm with, there's no, obviously there's no chance of jail time, and there's no chance of suspension of license. It's just to try to, you know, point thing, okay. So the worst case scenario, we had the money to pay it and all that stuff. So, but then we go in the next room and these guys tell us, look, if your cell phone rings, it's the judge will fine you $50. I'd already turned it off, but I tried to turn it off again. Die in the name of Jesus, die. I mean, I did look at it. You know, I'm looking at it. This, I hope to, and then I started looking. I didn't have this watch on. I had the one I run with, and it's got one of those beepers on it. I'm thinking, oh, God, please don't. Is it? I went through it. God, okay. Am I not looking at something that needs to be turned off? And then there's guys that are obnoxious. They think, and they're talking a little bit loud. Well, the cops will walk over and look at them like, you think you're bad? I'll cuff you and stuff you. And there's about 100 of us in here, Mr. Bad Boy. So there's an intimidation thing in there already. And I'm like, my God. And the people are walking up to the podium, and the judge was really nice. He really was. He was saying good morning to everybody, and he was quite cordial and everything. But I'm already imagining, I'm like sitting there, my heart's beating a little bit. Because behind, you know, there's a judge that, the door of the judge comes out, and the guy told us, he goes, when the judge comes out, we will all stand. And he said, we have a voluntary pledge of allegiance. He said, if you don't want to pledge allegiance, but you will stand throughout the pledge. Man, I'm like saying it. I pledge allegiance to the flag.
of the United States. And I'm not even there for me. And there's an intimidation thing going on. And then those guys get up there, and he's got, you know, two or three computers there, and he looks at, he's got this little mouse, I guess he's sitting there with, and you're waiting on him to say something. And he's looking at the computer screen because he's got the track record from the day you were born. And he's like, okay. And some of them have got lawyers, you know. And then there's lawyers there to represent people that don't have, you know, they're not even there. And there was this one guy, I kid you not, there was two, one lawyer, a lawyer represented. There's one guy that stood up before the person that I was there with. He was a Peruvian guy, and he would lived in Miami, and besides for all kinds of violations, all kinds, he was a toll booth runner. And the guy, and the judge, this guy had a lawyer, and the judge was talking to the lawyer, and the lawyer was trying, there was a lady, she was nice, and you know, I think he said something about, okay, well, let's talk, just because he's looking at the record. Let's talk for a minute about your driving record. And the guy's standing there. He goes, violation of failure to pay toll. He goes, let me just name these off. And every one of them had a date, but he wasn't saying the date. He goes, failure to pay toll, 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 failure. And he went on like that for like, I think maybe 2 minutes. He went on and on and on, besides for all the other reckless driving and stuff, but he was like, and then he'd throw in like 20, failure to pay toll, failure to pay toll, failure to pay toll, failure to pay. I know I wouldn't say this in church, but I would say it was probably at least 50 failure to pay tolls besides for all the other stuff. I'm like putting my face down because I don't want the judge to see me, but I'm laughing. I can't stand it. I was like, oh my God, are you serious? Are you serious? And the guy felt he'd run all those. And so, and the worst thing this guy, you know, worst thing the judge asked him afterwards, after he said all that, he goes, okay, since you want to talk about your driving record, what do you think? I mean, everybody in the courtroom was like, my God. What do you think would be a fair... Now, if I'd have been the guy, I would have said, I think you need to kill me. would you kill me? You know? Or the best I'd say is, I don't have nothing to say, you know? And I'm sitting there listening to all this, and I'm not even involved in it, but there's another door that goes out, and I'm thinking, you know, that door goes straight to the gas chamber. They kill people behind. And this is just traffic court. It's just traffic court. How much more awesome, because we think, oh, if I just get the ride, we will all stand, according to Paul, before the righteous judge. And you know those angels that we were talking about or praying or singing about? Those cops that I saw the other day with those 9 little millimeters, they are not nearly as intimidating to those 8 to 9 foot millions of angels that will be guarding that throne. He is going to look at records just like the Bible says there are books in heaven, and he will look at those books. Now, the good thing is my heart palpitations are from the fact that I know that I'm his. But somewhere between an A+ and a D-, he's fixing to talk to me. And he's going to judge me. And I don't get the opportunity to say at some point, if I was to... See, I never saw any of those... Even the bad boys didn't go, whoa, whoa, whoa. They were waiting for him to speak. If that's an earthly judge in a traffic court, how much more when the purity of the Lamb looks down on you in love, and the Holy Spirit standing over one side, and God the Father, and he's about to speak, and he speaks, and he says, and you know what? He doesn't talk to you about his blood. And if you were to say, excuse me, Lord, I know I failed, And I pray that this, would you judge me just according to your blood? He'd say, son, you're here because of my blood. But this judgment has nothing to do with my blood right now.
I'm talking to you about the deeds you did in your body, whether they were good or bad, how much you ruled over your flesh while you were living out your days. That's what this judgment is about. And Paul said, because we know this, if traffic court's that bad, when the pure Lamb of God looks into your face, I'll guarantee you, you'll be still and say, my God, please have mercy on me. Again, you'll know you're saved. And guess what? After it's over, the millions of years that we'll live together with Him, He'll never walk by you and like, no, you'll be friends forever. He'll be daddy. He'll be lamb. It'll be wonderful. That is a moment in time. But guess what? Paul said that moment in time is worth living your whole life, bringing your body under subjection to the things of the Spirit. Because, folks, if traffic court was that bad for me, and I wasn't even the participant, I don't want the Lamb to look at me and say, could you tell me why your level of love was at this point? You treated people like this, and I can give you, do you want failure to pay toll, failure to pay toll, failure to pay toll, failure to pay toll, failure? I can give you those dates if you want them. No, sir, but Lord, thank you for the blood. Son, this judgment's not about my blood. It's about the deeds you did in your body, whether you lived out what you could or could not. Whew, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The good thing is we're saved by His blood. We get to go because of His blood. In perfections. But thank God for the life of Christ that always bears about in the body the dying process. Hallelujah. I'm planning on making a good grade. How about you? Hallelujah. Glory. Father, I love you. This one thing I know, for the Bible tells me so, that Jesus loves me. And however that moment in time pans out, the good thing to know is that for the next billion, trillion, quadrillion years, I'll always walk, and you'll never ever mention one failure in this life. But while it is this life, I'm asking you to help me to die to the things of the flesh, give myself over to the things of the Spirit. Father, and I believe this is our heart's cry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just worship through whatever song the Holy Spirit puts on our heart to just kind of soak this in for a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. To know this, the words of a father. Perfect love, my love, casts out all fear. Fear would run the gamut of torment. But know this, that because I loved you, you love me. And that love is perfected in you through a continual walk of my Spirit in your house, saith the Spirit of grace. For know this, that I am overwhelmingly pleased when I find those in this life who will consider themselves on a journey, not just a journey of the temporal, but a journey of the eternal, saith the Spirit of grace. And for everyone that enters into that journey with that kind of consciousness of the change that I'm able to bring. And know this, it's not by might nor by power, but it is by my Spirit. All that I've asked of you is the permission to come and work a work of grace on the inside. And as that permission is granted and I live out my life in you, then I'm willing to take and be with you during the hardest of hard times and the most difficult moments of changing for your flesh. Know this, that the deeds done in your body, all of that is incorporated in a place of my grace and my ability to change you from glory to glory. I have not asked you to do something on your own. And the reward will be based on how much you trusted my grace to change you in very, very difficult places, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. For this is my promise to you. For anyone that starts on this journey, no matter how difficult it seems and feels at times, that my pleasure is this, in the fight that you levy against the flesh. It is at times, even when you count yourself to have fallen and failed, but you will not give up, but continue to walk into me and ask for my strength. Know that the reward will be based on your asking for my strength in times of weakness. And when I come, know this, that it is my desire, as David said, to place your feet in a large place, saith the Spirit of grace. Not that you would be incapacitated by things closing in on you and an inability to function, but that you have the capacity to run and to walk and not be weary, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.